The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, we are live today. You know what? It's kind of a yucky, miserable day outside, but guess what? The good news is we missed the bullets. That storm just kind of ricocheted off the coast and it's headed north, and we got a little bit of spitting on and, you know, some fog and things of that nature, but nothing really of significance, which is yay for us. It's a really good thing. So poor people down south got buried, and there's going to be a few folks that are get saturated along the coast, but, you know, we missed it. So, you know, enjoy the blessing that we got as we move forward. Hope you everybody's well and, you know, everybody's tucked down and doing what they need to get done. Got a very important show for you today, one that we don't consider often except when it hurts. And what we're talking about is foot and ankle problems, everything from an inability to have a proper gait and stride, everything that causes it to flare and be painful, from a big toe that's screaming at you, a dropped metatarsal arch, a neuropathic pattern. You've seen all times of advertising for neuropathies. We're going to touch upon that, and we're going to touch upon this area with somebody who I always have the greatest admiration and respect for, probably knows a whole lot more about this part of the body than I want to. And it's Dr. Harlan Browning, the professor. Hey, Doc, how you doing? How you doing on this wet, you know, kind of ugly day? You home buttoned down, or are you going to go outside and try to trim the weeds?
Yeah, I'm at home. I'm, you know, I might try to go to the gym later. I should be more productive and maybe clean the basement out, but that's not happening.
You know, that's outside of my pay grade. I don't do things like that. You know, I learned a long time ago that if I can coerce a kid into it or something of that nature, particularly with my children when they grow up, then my grandchildren they won't do it for me. But sometimes I can get my godson to do things. So God bless you, buddy. You know, and when you're done there, come out of the house. I'll encourage you to do my stuff too.
All right. I'll be right over.
Good job. Listen, let's get into this topic because it's really important, and it's one that I think most people aren't aware of. You know, this weekend I went to the Virginia Chiropractic Association convention down at the Renaissance Capitol View down by the airport, and it was interesting. And one of the presentations that was there was a guy that was talking about integrative therapeutics, and he was talking about head carriage, and where you know as well as I do, if the ear goes more than an inch in front of the shoulders in an abnormal postural pattern, tremendous amount of discomfort and so forth occurs in the neck and shoulders, arms, hands, and so forth, and headaches. But the other piece that I was really happy, because it was right on our topic that they were talking about, is the cause of the triggering mechanism of that abnormal head carriage, and it can be the feet. And, you know, where the arches aren't normalized, they're dropped, body's trying to compensate. You can have all kinds of issues like that. But let's get to the foot problem. In your opinion, and we'll start with something very basic, how many people, what percentage of the population, not numbers, would you guesstimate are walking around with bad plantar positioning, foot positioning, and relative to their gait, the walk, their posture patterns, and so forth?
You know, it's probably a lot higher than most would expect. Now, obviously, a good amount of those people are going to be asymptomatic, meaning they don't really have any foot pain. But we've got to consider the importance of the foot as it pertains to the rest of the body. If you have really poor foot mechanics, it's going to start to shift weight onto joint spaces that don't particularly like it, like the knees or the hips or, you know, low back. So it's probably really underreported, and I certainly think in our profession it's underappreciated, the importance of the foot.
You know, we often see patients that come to us for back pain and neck pain and just their legs ache and so forth, but it can go right to that plantar base, that foot. And, you know, we sometimes forget to check it, but even with our listeners right now, if they took their shoes and socks off and they got their feet wet and stepped on something that would make an impression, they would see that often one side of the foot is not, it doesn't draw a shadow on the paper or on the floor like the other one does. And so we have a dropped arch and we deal with that. And you hear all the advertising on television to, you know, get, foot inserts, put into position and the like. Let's take it to a practical level. And this, you know, this Wednesday evening, I think it's the 5th of October already, you're going to do an in-house presentation on foot pain and how it affects virtually all those mechanics that we're beginning to talk about. And oh, I wanted to let our listeners know that we're shifting our in-house continuing education program time to 6 p.m. So it's a little earlier. It's going to make it more convenient for everybody. But 6 p.m. from this point forward, so this Wednesday, and all you have to do to register is to go to rosellcare.com, and you'll see advertising for it. Click the button and say register here. And then, you know, if you want some more information, go to 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Browning today, real simple, 888-630-9625. Give us a call. Let's get into it. What are the most common presentations that you see? And you see a lot of sports injury. You see a lot of mechanical patterns, that really it relates to foot and foot gait mechanics and stability.
Well, I would say, you know, the biggie would probably be plantar fasciitis, and then the end stage of that would be heel spurs. That's probably top of the list. And then you start to get these other pain syndromes, metatarsalgias and neuromas. These are all overuse type injuries. In other words, the person has poor mechanics for a long period of time, most likely has shoes that don't work well for them. And that just becomes a kind of a storm over time. And then the tissues get overwhelmed and then they start to break down and they get inflamed. And ultimately we get some sort of pain.
So let's talk about those pieces, because, you know, those are big words for a lot of people. And the second half, I want to talk a little bit too about how the vascular components of the foot, the ankle, and perhaps the calf are compromised because of this type of situation and the neuropathic pain, that we often see and may or may not be due to a, problem like diabetes. It could simply be what you're talking about right now. But let's start with the basics, you know, plantar fasciitis. For a lot of people, say, what, huh? You know, even sometimes when they're told they have a plantar fasciitis, unfortunately, so many people just say, oh, okay, what do I do about it? But what is that really, and how does it come about?
So plantar fasciitis is inflammation of the bottom part of the foot. It's called the plantar fascia. Fascia is this connective tissue that surrounds muscles and helps secure it to bony structures. Typically, we start to see the plantar fasciitis because of what I referenced before. It just fatigues over time, and that's almost always because of poor mechanics. If we look at the foot from an engineering standpoint, there's really three arches in it. So there's two arches that go from the front to back. There's a medial and a lateral longitudinal arch. So that's the one that we would typically think of. So when we walk on the beach, we would see our heel and maybe the front of our foot. So the arch keeps us supported. And then there's this transverse arch that it works kind of like a truss in a house that keeps us up. So when these arches become compromised because of bad mechanics or overuse or shortening of muscles, then they eventually start to collapse. And as they collapse, they distribute their weight onto other types of tissues. And then ultimately we get inflammation, and plantar fasciitis is probably, you know, the most common one that we hear about.
Now, what I want patients to also appreciate, what you're talking about is a very basic fundamental structure, balance, if you will, in the body that can have a far-reaching effect all the way through. And even though we may not get into those things in detail today because of time periods, but it's, you know, the old song, you know, the foot is connected to the ankle's connected to the knee's connected to the hip is connected, and it can cause a problem all the way up. So we could have symptoms other places as a result of a fallen plantar arch, if you will. Let's talk about the fasciitis problem, fascia. Fascia is like saran wrap or plastic wrap, and it covers all kinds of things. So the foot, like any other structure, has bones, it has muscles, and it has fascia, this wrapper, this binding piece that holds everything in place. How does that get injured? Does it get injured mechanically? Does it get injured biochemically? Is it just a stress pattern that everybody gets worn and torn over a period of time? How can we appreciate that so we understand it better?
Well, I think the first thing that you need to look at is the extent of the fascia. And what I mean by that is basically the fascia envelops and wraps everything in our body, including our organs. So it is what we refer to as a contiguous structure. In other words, it kind of starts in one place and kind of ends in another place. So if you do a dissection, which they've done, you know, over the years, Dr. Myers, who wrote the book Anatomy Trains, probably brought more light to this than anybody, you know, of recent. You know, you can dissect out the bottom part of the foot all the way up to your head. So what happens is this fascia, if it has dysfunction in one area, the foot, for example, then it's going to cause a pull on the fascia that's going to lead upwards into the rest of the body. You know, one of the things that I classically see with people who have hip problems, who don't have injuries, and it's just something that's gotten progressively worse, I would safely say that 75% of those people have a foot issue. And you can see it when they stand, they turn the foot out, or the foot collapses more on that side. So it goes back to what you said, that, you know, the foot dysfunction can present somewhere else, and usually it can be upstream.
Question. You know, when I was growing up, you know, Mom always used to yell at me because if I had bad shoes on, she says, get rid of those things, take them off. You know, I was the generation that had Keds and Converse shoes, and back in the day, they weren't great shoes. I'm not so sure they're any better today. But footwear. People wearing, are they better walking barefooted? Are they better wearing whatever they're wearing? And what's the guidelines?
So that's kind of a loaded question. And we saw in probably starting around 2006, this movement into what we refer to minimalist shoes and barefoot running. Now, conceptually, it makes a lot of sense, but it doesn't necessarily work for a lot of people because we've worn shoes from the minute that we're a baby, right? That we put little booties on a child. So that changes the way that the foot works and how it grows. So we almost get acclimated to shoes. So if you go from a person who's used to wearing a shoe with a little bit of a heel, and for us, a little bit of a heel is not much, but for other people's, it could be 2 or 3 inches. And now you take them out of a shoe with the heel and you ask them to walk barefoot. In many cases, it can open up more problems than if they just stayed in that high heel.
So, you know, we're talking about pumps that women wear and you know, heels that really don't have a lot of stability. And even, you know, there was a time when menswear where we'd see these platform boots and the like. And it has a tendency to shorten the calf muscles, the gastroc. And a lot of that becomes problematic. So that shortening, if you will, it's the muscle, by the way, one of them that if you got up on your toes, that calf muscle is going to contract. But now you've taught it to contract on a regular basis and it shortens up and it can cause problems. We're going to get into this because I don't think most people are aware of how significant what we just talked about really is to the body. We're coming up to a break. My guest today, Dr. Harlan Browning, we're talking about your feet, particularly your foot and your ankle and the pain patterns that kind of show up. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live on this kind of yucky, rainy day outside. But like I said, enjoy it because you didn't get all the rain. And, you know, there was a little bit of wind. Some trees came down, but nothing like we could have gotten. So, you know, we missed the bullet, my friends. So we're good to go. My guest, Dr. Harlan Browning, your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening, October the 5th at 6 p.m. We've moved our in-house continuing education programs up just a bit for you because we had several of you that said, hey, listen, it'd be more convenient and things are getting darker, so we're going to protect that. So here we at 6 o'clock. How you register for that class is simply this way. Go online at rozellcare.com, scroll down, and hit the button, say register here so we can confirm your registration. Or simply, if you don't want to do it on the computer, call us, 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And if you'd like to talk to us right now, right here today, 888-630-9625, and we'll answer any questions, whether it's on topic or not. Doesn't matter. I've got one of the brightest and the best sitting here as my guest today, and we're talking about foot pain, but we can talk about anything. Okay, Doc, let's get back in and talk to people why their feet are yelling at them and becoming problematic. And we're talking a little bit about, you know, abnormal heels and how it shortens things up. But, you know, the truth of it is you talked about kids being put in shoes too young. In our house, nobody had shoes on. We let them crawl around, take their socks off so they could feel the carpet, so they could feel the wood floor, get that proprioception going. And, you know, simply because if you get used to the shoes at a too early an age, your proprioception, your balance are going to be altered in the way that we were talking about before the break. How, as you go through and you watch people, how often is it, and that was my original question, in today's world, bad fitting shoes? They're working all day long. You know, we're not talking about the athlete. That's, and we can touch upon that in the next part of the program. But people are wearing the wrong things. So they're suffering severe foot pain. The foot is burning. It's totally problematic. You're starting to develop hammer toes. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you about. So that, and talk us through, what is a hammer toe?
Well, to get to the point of the poor fitting shoes, I think it really comes down to a couple things. Number one, maybe the shoe's just not right for you. So a lot of people, and I understand this, will buy things by looking at reviews, or maybe the shoe gets ranked in some way. So the assumption is that if it gets the best reviews or the highest rank, that it's going to be perfect for them. So that's not always the case. You know, everybody's foot's different. So I think there's actually a lot of value when people go to shoe stores that have employees that know a lot about, you know, foot mechanics and shoes. So that would be a good place to start. The second thing that I see people get is, you know, is the heel is just too high. And that can go for a sneaker as well. So, you know, sneakers or athletic shoes are kind of sometimes can be misleading because it's hard to tell how high the heel is. And that's, there's a rise in the back. It's called the delta. And it's basically how high the heel is compared to the toe. And once you get to, you know, 10 or 11 millimeters, now you're getting to a place to where, like you said before, the calf muscle is always in a shortened position. So imagine taking that to the next level. A person wears a boot all day, or even worse, a high heel, and they do this for long periods of time, then the calf gets progressively shorter. And then that whole cascade of everything going onward from there is pretty prevalent.
You know, we'll get into this in detail, but with an answer, somebody that comes in with foot pain and it's chronic, it's there, can it be fixed without an insert? Can it be fixed without having to do something that is external? Can you fix the foot, strengthen the fascia? Can you do things of that nature more so than having to do an orthotic, more so than having to put them in a cast of some sort?
Absolutely. And with full disclosure, we work with an orthotic company that builds custom orthotics, so we order them. But I can tell you that I just don't order them as much as most people would think that they need them. So some people just come in asking for orthotics, and I'm like, okay, well, let's take a step back and let's see what's going on here. So I would suspect that the majority of people who think that they need an orthotic really don't. They just need some rehabilitation and improvement in their mechanics. And they're going to go about their business and do great.
You know, it's interesting. You know, over the years, you know, we've used several different companies, and we used to take mold formations, and we used to do different type of imprints. And the company that we have right now is pretty solid. When we come back in the second part, I'm going to ask you, you know, in your opinion, do you like a solid orthotic? Do you like one more that's flexible? And we'll talk about the why behind that. But we're at 888-630-9625. My guest, Dr. Harlan Browning. We're talking about your feet and why they're burning and screaming and yelling at you and how we can fix them for you. We'll be right back after some very important messages. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, and the best presentation I can give you. And that means Dr. Harlan Browning's with me, the professor. We're talking about your foot and ankle mechanics and how it affects all of your body and the things that show up that you didn't think that were from the foot. And, you know, we were kidding a little while ago and talked about how each of our joints are connected to other joints because everything moves in mechanics. Dr. Browning mentioned that the fascia, that plastic wrap, that saran wrap that covers everything, is one continuous sheet from one part of your body all the way through envelops organ systems. So, Dr. Browning, here's the thought process of the day based on which you put out there. We'll only spend a second, but I want people to think about it. If in fact that the fascia is one long interconnected tissue and envelops everything in the body, if you have a bad foot, could it give you thoracic problems in the organ systems, the stomach, the bladder, the intestinal tract, even liver and heart? Is that a possibility, or am I far reaching?
No, I mean, that's a reality. So if you have foot dysfunction, let's say you're excessively pronated on one side, the foot collapses and becomes too flat, then the leg becomes functionally shorter. When a person walks, their pelvis is going to dip on one side. Well, the body is pretty good at trying to correct things like that. And sometimes it'll overreach, so to speak. So, for example, the hip flexors like the psoas, those are, you know, deep into our inner abdomen, will become tighter. So as those become tighter because they physically attach to the diaphragm, now people will start to have changes in breathing mechanics. And because the diaphragm is so close to the stomach, maybe we get a little weird reflux for no reason. On the opposite end, going a little lower, because those muscles also pass through the pelvic wall and the pelvic floor, now we can see some things in the lower abdominal area. Maybe, you know, with, like you said, some urinary issues. And, you know, women who have incontinence, you know, from pelvic floor dysfunction know this well, that when those muscles don't work, then sometimes you got to run to the bathroom pretty quick.
So a lot of that urinary frequency may not be hormonal related, and problems that guys have and so forth. And that's another question I'm going to get into within a second. But the spike shoes that women wear, the abnormal platforms, the shifting the body mechanics, in fact, could cause bad problems with menstrual cycles, could cause problems with transitioning, if you will, from, you know, a normal flow into, you know, perimenopause and then menopause and so forth. And that's something people don't think about because the body is all interconnected. And, you know, for years I've screamed at people, get off those shoes. And we have those heel lifters or heel measures where we put somebody on them with their heels without shoes on, 1 inch, 2 inch, 3 inch, and so forth. And we see where they inhibit or weaken muscle function. And so you can't wear those. It's breaking your body down. Let's go to a guy. Could problems with their feet, particularly guys that are on their feet all day, they're in a retail setting, they're outside in construction, they're walking up and down ladders and so forth, if their shoes aren't fitting them well, could they end up having problems with urinary flow? Could they end up having problems with even erectile dysfunction because of their foot platform over a period of time?
You know, it's probably possible. I mean, anything's kind of possible. I don't think in that scenario it's would be as probable, just because of the way, you know, the bladder and the male is laid out and those things. But it's definitely a reality in ladies, and that's why there's people who just specialize in pelvic floor dysfunction, you know, both on the medical side and the rehab side and the chiropractic side, because it's just not talked enough about, and it's a huge reality.
So the reason I went there is because there was a guy going back over the last 2 years. If I told you who he was on the air, you know who he was, that came in and was having some significant problems with low back pain, but also was having some problems with positional erectile problems. And what I found on him was that he was wearing a pair of shoes that were more broken on one side and was affecting the reflexes on the bottom of the feet. And when I got there, interestingly, because the acupuncture channels, I would press on it and he would feel pain all the way up in his back. But the genital urinary system was in the area where he was having the problem. We've supported that. We fixed that. His back pain went away. But he came in and told me one day, hey, Doc, I didn't tell you this before, but, and I said, oh, I said, isn't that interesting? So an interesting clinical antidote, if you will. We're here at 888-630-9625. We're going to go to the phones. John, you're calling me from Alexandria. How can I help you, sir?
Yes, sir. 73-year-old, obviously a male. A PSA test went up from 3.1 to 5.8. Anything I can do to bring it down, doctor?
Okay, so a couple quick questions, John. And Dr. Browning, feel free to jump in on this thing. How long did it take the PSA to go from 3 to 5?
1 year.
Okay, so
June to September.
All right, did they do
2021 to 2022.
Okay, so did they do a free PSA with it? Because a total PSA is nothing more than a measure of inflammatory reaction of the prostate. So it's prostate-specific antigen. But what really you want to see, you know, if you do both of them, you want to see a low total PSA and you want to see a very high free PSA. So did they do a high free PSA on you? Or not a high
free
PSA?
No, never heard of it before.
Okay, so it's unfortunate that most physicians don't run that, because that is the thing that really tells the story. So you would look at a lot of different things, John, based on PSA, because it's an inflammation. You're going to look at zinc levels within the body, because the dry weight of the prostate is 50% zinc. You're going to look at other mineralization. You're going to look at things if you're medications that you might be taking. You're going to look at the consumption of alcohol. And if there's that guys that are smokers, whether they're cigarettes or cigars or anything like that, have a greater risk of increasing their PSA alcohol as well. Doc, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I would probably expand the blood work to include testosterone free and regular and dihydrotestosterone. That's a conversion one, and that's often implicated in people who have enlarged prostates. Certainly people premature balding can get that as well. And I would also probably check estrogen levels, because, you know, all these things affect the prostate. So, you know, the PSA, like you said, is kind of just a smoke alarm. It doesn't tell you where the fire is. So these other hormones often will give you a better indication on what you might want to start looking at and possibly treating.
And the thing that you have to keep in mind with what Dr. Browning said is that estrogen is important, because the genetic makeup of the prostate tissue is the same as breast tissue. So it's going to be estrogenic attractive, if you will. And estrogens that are not protected with enough progesterone or the wrong type of estrogen can cause all kinds of damage. So that's where you would start. You want to see more blood work. You want to take a look at dietary history and exposure. You want to take a look at medications. You want to look at the things that people are drinking, and then come up with a solution. But there's a lot that can be done. So, John, if we can help you in any way, give us a call. Dr. Browning can help you. That's why we're here. Interesting presentation. You know, and unfortunately, I see too much of that, and I know you do too, is that these people go in and they get one test. They get a PSA. But they don't get anything else. So they don't get sex binding hormones. They don't get the testosterones, both free and total. They don't get the estrogens. All of those things are critical.
Yeah. And unfortunately that, you know, the standard of care as far as running lab tests is really being started to be directed by the insurance companies. And what I mean by that is they're going to deny reimbursement on certain tests being run. So after a while, the doctor is going to be conditioned to just probably not run those tests, even though they might have tremendous value. That's this whole Medicare model. So, you know, when patients of mine or new people bring in their blood work and their Medicare, I mean, talk about bare bones. I mean, sometimes it's just, their annual blood work is just, it's a half a page of tests, which is not much.
No, it's not much at all. And they need to have so much more done. I often will tell a patient, look, we have to have this done. And unfortunately, your insurance is not going to approve it. Fortunately, we have a laboratory that does extraordinarily good work that is a cash lab. And you can get for about $2,400, $2,500 worth of lab work done for about $250, $230. The basic panel, I think, is about $210. So it works really well. So we've been able to cross that bridge a little bit for our own patients. Let's get back to the foot and, you know, what's happening there. But we're here at 888-630-9625. Doc, listen, you know, when a patient comes in and you see all these vascular patterns in the lower leg, you know, particularly around the ankle, you see a little puffiness, a little swelling. It's not the typical pitting edema where you can put your finger in it, it makes a hole in there, but it's, you can tell the tissue's a little swollen, but you're seeing tortuosity, increased size of veins and so forth. And the dorsal, what they call the dorsalis pedis pulse, it's where you can take the pulse of the heart at the lower portion of the leg and the upper portion of the foot. My question is, does foot biomechanics have a worsening effect or can be a triggering effect to all those things?
Both. So what you're talking about is like vascular insufficiency. In other words, the veins become incompetent. Typically you would think of like the varicose type vein thing. Well, you know, veins have walls just like our arteries do, and those walls over time, the connective tissue can get beat up. So if our foot mechanics aren't normal and we put an excessive amount of stress through the ankle joint, well, besides there being muscles and tendons and ligaments, they're those blood vessels. So those can become beat up and get worn out. So as they do, they start to bulge out. And as they bulge out, then we start to see the edema. We start to see the swelling, the redness, and then we start to see the changes in the skin. You know, the skin starts to get almost a shiny appearance to it. We start to see the hair disappear on that part of the leg. These are all changes that take place when the blood vessels become compromised.
Yeah, you know, it's I've always looked at that as a foot mechanical problem, and you know, something that shows up, and generally people wouldn't think of that, meaning the patient and the doctor that's evaluating the situation. But if the arches of the foot are not supportive, we have overstretching of muscles, but with the bones not being held into place, the mechanical pieces of the foot, at that point, you have to have compromise of lymphatic drainage. You have to have compromise of venous return to the upper portion of the body. And if you're seated in the foot, is also affecting other areas all the way up. So this whole topic that we're talking about today, the mechanical patterns of the foot and the ankle, are critical to your overall health. We know that the foot has tremendous amount of receptors, you know, areas that influence so many different parts of the body. Doc, I mentioned we got a couple of minutes before we have to take a break. We talked a little bit about a hammer toe. What are the causes? Is it just only foot problems, or can it be other health related conditions that may cause that?
It certainly could be low back issues. In other words, we could have nerve compression in the low back, and maybe we don't have back pain. So as that nerve gets irritated or compressed over long periods of time, then the muscles that receive information from that that nerve will become different. So we see those long flexors start to get more aggressively tight, and the short flexors get weaker, and that's why we get that characteristic hammer toe, or you know the downward turning of the toes.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed with patients over the years, and most physicians won't pick it up, but you and I see it all the time, and because of our training, we're aware of it. And you get that, you know, lateralization of the big toe, and you get that knot on the end of it, a hammer toe-like type of situation. But it's often from gout. And, you know, it's not only people that drink, but it's people who will eat chocolate. The other night Sue was laughing at me because I had a small glass of red wine with a piece of steak and a salad and vegetables. And afterwards, she gave me two little squares of dark 80 percent chocolate, you know, for dessert about an hour later. My toe on my right side started throbbing, and I started laughing. I said, "You got to be kidding." Thank you, Mom, because my mother had gout. And but that's one of the things that we see and we pick up as well, which is, you know, most people won't think about that.
No, and it's pretty common. I mean, because if they're paying to run advertisements on TV for gout medicine, then you know there's a lot of people out there who have gout. So, yeah, it's probably underreported.
Yeah, well, in today's world, they're going to publish all kinds of things for any symptom that anybody has. You know, even to the point, I'd love to spend a whole program on pancreatic insufficiency. You know, we've been playing with that for years. All of a sudden, it's a big deal instead of trying to figure out a way to get that pancreas to work the best it can possibly do and its profound effects. We're coming up to a break. We're listening to a master when it comes to the foot and ankle. And as I said in the beginning of the program, I'm always humbled in his presence and what he knows. I can throw him any question, he's going to answer it. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. Dr. Harlan Browning, my guest, your host this Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizzell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzell Live. Indeed, we are. And a very special guest today, Dr. Harlan Browning, the professor. We're talking about your foot, your ankle, and the effect it has throughout your body. Too many of you are putting up with problems that are unresolvable because nobody's looking at the foot. And, you know, whether it's a knee problem or a hip problem or a low back problem, or as we touched upon a little bit, an internal endocrine problem. The possibility is there that it can be coming from the foot. There's indicators that would suggest that. And we appreciate you listening. We've been doing this for a whole lot of time, and we continue to upgrade the presentation specifically for you. Dr. Browning, welcome back. You're going to be presenting this Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. And as always, your presentations are brilliant, and we'd love to invite our listening audience and anybody that suspects they may have a problem. I know you're going to get into some really interesting things. Why don't you, kind of tweak them and tell them why they should be there with you?
Well, you know, as I always do, I try to make it as interactive as possible. You know, if people have questions, we want to address those. I like to go through a lot of the basic concepts. You know, if you look at the blueprints on the way we're designed, it makes a lot more sense on the things you need to do to fix it. We'll certainly talk about some new technology out there on how to assess a person's gait. You know, there's, as we have in our office, we have a device that basically tells you what you're doing when you're walking. So that's a big part of what we do. And then we'll look at a lot of the different situations that arise when we have poor foot mechanics, both in the foot and, you know, certainly throughout the rest of the body.
You know, it's very cool to see how people move and stride and walk and how they are in a plumb line pattern. And because if you're mechanically not doing well, it shows up on the stress test that we're doing. We can see it on computer. We print it out. We see exactly where your balance is. And it really finger points to a lot of things that may be going on with you. It's an exciting situation. The mechanics of the foot and the interaction, if you will, throughout the entire body is so critical, and it's one that is really not given a tremendous amount of importance, except for the fact, oh, your feet hurt, and you know it affects your whole body because of the pain. But as we talked about today, it's far more than that. It's far more than just your foot hurts. It's far more than just the neuropathy, the pain that radiates. It's far more than that plantar fasciitis. So you really have to understand what happens in those mechanical platforms. And if you do have them, then you can get them fixed. You know, it's really an amazing situation. We've had Dr. B, the privilege of treating high performance athletes from, you know, the professional football league to, the NBA to, you know, even the Wizards, as one time I was the doc, you know, for them for about 4 years. And so we got to see a lot of very important pieces of, if you will, destruction to the foot because of these intense people. But as I asked you earlier, it's fixable, correct?
Yeah, most of the time it's fixable, especially if you do stuff early on. You know, unfortunately, as time passes, I see more people slip through the cracks that they just wait and wait and wait on their problem, and it just becomes harder to address it. So I always encourage folks, if, you know, if you're having pain and it's not going away after about a couple weeks, that's a sign that the body is not stable. So, you know, jump on it and do something about it.
Well, this is an opportunity, as particularly when you present something like this, it's amazing. This Wednesday evening, the 4th, the Result Center for Healing in Fairfax. Give us a call, register for the class, or go online at resultcare.com and make it happen. We'll see you there. Remember, we continue to do this program for one reason only. It's very simple. We love you all. Take care. See you next week. Bye.